If we want a real opinion, we need to speak to Luba Maya-Kiso. And we say good afternoon to Luba Maya-Kiso, who's one of the smartest people that I know, for sure. And I know a lot of smart people, so that's really saying something. How are you, Luba?
I'm very well, Kathy and the team. Thank you for the intro. I'm not sure I deserve the compliment, but I'll take it.
No, it is true. So we're all following, you know, as we do with any child of ours. I don't know, in South Africa, children seem to be a lot more vulnerable than in other countries. We don't hear about this happening in other countries like we do in South Africa for some reason. And I don't know if that's got to do with more reporting or if we really do abuse our children. But it has raised an issue that you and I were discussing earlier today. And that is about releasing the name of perpetrators before they have been tried in court. What's your thought?
Sure, Kathy. I think from a legal point of view, an accused has rights. And when I saw the NPA clip, they stated clearly that once he's heard his first court appearance, you can release the name. And once that was done, then it was in terms of Section 153 of the Criminal Procedure Act, the name can be released. So I think that's fine. You know, one can't complain about that. But I think for me, the bigger issue really is we often get caught up in the side issues. You know, a child either 6 or 7 has been raped. That's terrible. There's a broader issue. You know, can I go to a restaurant with my kids? Does it mean I have to sit there like a hawk watching over them 24/7? Because I shouldn't need to if I've sent them to a play area. You know, a lot of anger was vented against the restaurant Dross. And I kept asking myself, you know, did they do something wrong? Could they have done more? But, you know, our anger is all around. It's about the name. It's about the dross, the statement. The statement wasn't apparently contrite enough and all those issues. But the question remains, why is this happening? You know, why has it become unsafe for 3-year-old, for grandmothers in South Africa? Why are 6-year-old children being raped? And I think we're not dealing with that issue. And, you know, I may be unpopular, but the answer is not going to lie in the state. Yes, we can impose heavier sentences, but, you know, 20, 30 years ago, this wasn't happening. So what has changed in South African society that the rape of a 6-year-old is acceptable? Not acceptable, but it's happening. Why are these happening that didn't happen 20, 30 years ago?
And what's the answer? Why is it happening? Are we just becoming more protective of the rights of perpetrators instead of the rights of victims? Is that what's happening, Luba?
I think it's a myriad of things. On the one sense, yes. I mean, when you and I chatted, we said that one of the challenges of democracy and the Constitution is that people's rights are protected. And it's very difficult to act against people because they have their rights. Now, when I tried to read up about the story, one of the issues that I kept running into in some of the newspapers was that he'd arrived a bit earlier, had blown about 700 rand drinking. And, you know, there was talk that sometimes he did drugs. Now, the question I was asking myself is, was this a sane 20-year-old, not intoxicated, not using any substances, who did this? And then the question becomes very different. Or was it somebody who was acting under some substance? I don't know. But certainly, if you were to ask me and say, put aside, let's say, the legal system, the legal process, and look at it as a parent or as a human being, I would say you need to throw the book at him. You know, I heard you talking of chemical castration. I would do physical castration, but I can't do that because it's just that gory. I mean, I saw this and I steered well clear off the story because I just didn't want to go down there. It was just too traumatic to look at. So I think the question then you're asking has, you know, the answer is not simple because on the one side, he has rights, but do we, if we, let's say, throw the book at people, will this disappear? The Minister of Police has recently released the stats. You're talking of between 50 and 64 people being raped every single day. And my honest view is that I think the level of crime in this country has escalated to the extent that we kind of become accustomed to it and we aren't appalled by it as much as it happens. I mean, as tragic as the story is, I don't think that was the only person raped on that day or the only child. Now, I'm not trying to diminish this one, but I'm saying this is taking place all the time. And somehow we have kind of become accustomed to it and our response is muted. That's what worries me.
You know, there's actually a quote from the Mishnah, which goes, "Those who are kind to the cruel in the end will be cruel to the kind." And when I see that our children can't play safely in the streets or wherever it is, and that's it's a global issue. Their children don't have the freedom that that they did in years gone by. I think that is because we keep protecting the perpetrators and not protecting the rights, the civil rights of people who do observe those civil rights. Somebody who has committed murder has lost, how do I want to put it? He has lost his right to freedom. He has lost his right to choose, and therefore the state needs to intervene and choose for him. And I think that the same is with any, like with a child rapist. We cannot be protecting people who are a threat to society in general.
Absolutely, but let me throw this curveball at you.
Okay.
Did he wake up as a 20-year-old on that day and decide, I want to rape somebody? Do we lay the blame on the punitive sanction that society can bring, the legal system can bring to this issue? Or do we ask a deeper question and say, how did we get here with this young man? Because the feeling I always have is that whether it's rape, it's murder, it's theft, it's assault, whatever it is, well, whatever kind of crime you're dealing with or social ill, you're dealing with a human being who's been brought up in a family, in a society, in a community. And I don't think there's a magical switch that just flips and a person does these things.
No, it's obviously,
you know, it's conditioning. It's how you've been raised. It's, you know.
Or it's a character.
So the question then,
or it's a character trait.
Yeah?
You know, Luba, if we've got, you know, serial killers, I'm not going to take responsibility for how that serial killer was raised or grew up. I'm not prepared to do that. That serial killer has something in his head or her head that is short wiring. That is not my responsibility. What is my responsibility?
I agree, but that's not the
society from them.
Kathy, but that can't be every case. Let me put this question to you. You have children, right?
Yes.
Now you've raised them. Now, you would be able to vouch for your kids in terms of what you think they would do and what they wouldn't do. Isn't that correct?
Yes. I know.
Based on how you raise them.
Well, I know their characters.
You know their characters because of the input you've put into them as a parent. So that's what I'm referring to, is that somehow, as a society, are we taking responsibility? I'm not asking you to take responsibility for this chap, but I'm saying somebody's raised him. And somewhere along the line, it's become acceptable for him to use violence and to do such things to vulnerable people, to vulnerable children. So it can't be something that he woke up. Yes, there might be something that may have kind of made diminished his thinking, his responsibility, let's say alcohol or drugs or whatever, but somewhere deep down, the propensity for the crime would have been there. And where is that safeguard in his upbringing? And I'm sorry for always put the blame on parents, but I do believe that the way we raise our children and we interact will determine how, as adults, we treat each other.
Yeah.
And so the blame, I'm not putting it to society in general. I'm saying you have to look at the environment, but society has to accept the broader one in the sense that we don't complain about these issues. We generally, I mean, we've spoken about this, the number of people who are murdered in this country, the number of sexual assaults in this country, it runs into thousands.
Luba, you're giving away all our secrets. I mean, now people know that we never have normal conversations.
No, we do. I think, Kathy, the issue is we love the country, and I think it's, we lament at where we find ourselves
as a
country.
Yes,
and say, the state can do a whole bunch of things, but we have to do more as citizens. So when I look at the situation and I say, you know, I saw the anger, the Dross statement, I'm saying, yes, you know, the Dross has never had this happen. And I've been to many restaurants where I've gone to, let's say, Spurs or whatever restaurant, and my kids go and play. And now I'm asking myself, you know, should I do that again or should I go and sit there with them? I shouldn't have to go and sit in the play area with my kids.
You're right. You shouldn't have
respects.
To.
I shouldn't have to.
No.
If there's somebody there who's watching, I shouldn't need to do this. So we can't accept that our society is going to become dysfunctional and therefore my kids must be glued to my hip 24/7. That's no life. I don't want that existence. So we have to reclaim our society and say it is within our hands. Yes, the police have to do their bit. We need to report these rape incidences, this violence against women. We must report it. It must be prosecuted, and people must get the maximum sentences. But at the same time,
But at the same time,
we need to look at the source and not the symptoms, because the symptoms is what we see.
Okay, so what would you like to see happen? How would you like this to be resolved? What kind of a world would you like to see, Luba, and how do we get there? In 30 seconds. All right, listen, Luba, we have got, we've got news coming up.
Sure.
And, but really, that's I think that's something for everybody to think about, you know. Let's create this utopia where our children can live in a safe environment. But how do we deal with the rights of perpetrators? Do we diminish their rights? And is that democracy? And if that is democracy, do we want democracy? I leave that to you. Luba Maikiso, thank you very, very much. I look forward to the next time we speak.
Thanks. At least you spared me. I would have given you the answer, but it's fine. I'll take the news. I'll leave you with this. I think we need to step a little bit back with democracy. It's a wonderful thing, but at the way we're going, it's becoming dangerous.
All right. So, Luba, I certainly want to have that conversation with you. Anyway, have a very, very good afternoon, and I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Wonderful. Cheers to the guys. Bye.
Cheers. Bye. That's Luba Maikiso.